When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You are listening to the E2C Network, where the Auburn family speaks.
Org Auburn fans, welcome to No Huddle, your source for Auburn football news and discussion, part of the E2C Network. I'm AJ Richardson, and Auburn just won its first game. As Brian Harsin would say, we're 1-0. We got a 1-0 mindset, and guess what? We accomplished it. Now we got to get to 2-0. But the first game against Akron, we beat them soundly 60-10. This was a very good start for the Brian Harsin era. Lots of good offense. Our defense played phenomenally. I think overall it just seemed like a good game, a good way to start pretty much this is his coaching staff. This is a good way to get going, even though I think there's going to be an argument here. But how bad is Akron? And how good is Auburn? We'll get into some of those discussions a little bit later. But to talk about this, I've also brought along Jared Davis. How you doing, buddy?
War Eagle, man. I'm doing good. I thought that I would basically just be kind of satisfied with what I saw. And I was actually excited with what I saw. So I know we're going to talk about, what was it, just Akron. But I don't think it was just Akron, to be honest with you. So excited about what happened, excited to be here. And looking forward to kind of recapping what all went down.
Yeah. I mean, to have a full stadium, I think it was like 83,000 fans or something like that. The student section, I mean, I think my dad who was there sent a picture to me. I posted it on the E2C Twitter, but the student section was pretty much filled up like an hour ahead of the game, which is pretty crazy for a season opener with Akron. Now, if it was a bigger game, yeah, I fully expect that, but this is against Akron. So, I mean, props to the student section for showing up. And hey, they stayed the whole time, which I am very proud of. I love to see that. I mean, there were pictures even, I think, with like 20 seconds left in the game of the student section, and they were still there, like a good number of them.
They stayed till after.
Yeah.
And Harsin came back out and like applauded them. They were like after everybody had gone.
Hey, that's something Bama can't say they have. So I love that. Bama students are already gone to the parties or whatever they go do after a football game.
Yeah, I agree. It was good to see that. And yeah, I saw a picture of Harsin coming out and applauding, and he was in like his suit, like after the game. It was he had cleaned up and everything, and so it was pretty cool that they stayed that late. And I don't know if you saw, but a buddy of mine was at the game, and the whole basketball team was there in the student section doing the swag surf with them.
Oh, fun. So yeah, that's
like
awesome.
Jabari Smith and those guys. I think they were there doing it, so pretty cool to see.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, I feel like you're getting the college experience. Like, you get to have some fun there. I mean, it's just part of the full experience. Like, my sister who went to, I think she went to most of the home games last year as an Auburn student, but they had to be so spread out. She was like, the game experience was so different. And you could tell this game experience for the students was what a lot of them last year didn't get at all. Even if they came to the game, it wasn't the same. So, I think it brought the energy to everybody, not just the student section, but I think the full fan experience was pretty amazing. I mean, the light show, like the videos of that, I didn't get to go, but it looked awesome. Like, I can't wait to go to a night game and actually experience that. Because it just looks like a fun, almost like a concert in a way, kind of. You're part of the experience. But Jared, let's actually kind of talk a little bit about the game. Let's start with, was Akron that bad, or was Auburn that good, or was it kind of a mixture of both?
I think it was a mixture of both. I think, but we didn't know this. We knew Akron was bad. We didn't know if Auburn was good. I think this solidified we are good. Now, are we great? We don't know. We'll find that out. But we are good. I think that, I sat there and I watched other teams around the SEC, and I'm like, you know, we're not going to finish. They had us predicted to be just ahead of Mississippi State. It's not going to happen. I mean, like, it's not going to happen unless somebody gets truly injured. I mean, we are very good on defense, and offensively, I mean, we have really good running backs, possibly the best in the nation at our starting position. But what we saw from Bo Nix, listen, I know it was accurate, okay? But from snap one, he was not jittery. Remember, you got to keep in mind, he's got that memory of things that have happened. So you would think, okay, it might take a few drives in the game to realize, hey, I'm not getting pressure from Akron. No, it happened from snap one. He was not anxious. He did not have happy feet. And to me, that means, because he didn't know he wasn't going to get pressured, to me, that means they have fixed that piece of his game. Mm-hmm. And if that's the case, that's really all that's been the problem with both. So yeah. I was very excited to see that. I'll let you talk. Let me add one more thing. Love the short passing game. I watched so when Boise was playing Central Florida, I said, if this is what Harsin does, and I don't know if they run the same thing, I said, I love it. Like, they were just annoying Central Florida with kind of the 6-yard routes to keep drives alive. And there's not much you can do about that. And that's exactly what we did. We kept a few drives alive to allow for the big play. We didn't go big play to start out. And so I loved it, man. I was excited. How about you?
Yeah, I mean, I think you kind of hit on something. I mean, another discussion I definitely wanted to get into was, you know, I know it's Akron, but what did you kind of think of offensive play calling? But I mean, it seemed like to me it had such a good variety of different things that, I mean, maybe I was just so used to, oh, we know what Gus is going to throw out there and what the play calling is going to be. But I felt like there was such a good variety that for a defense, trying to figure that out is going to be hard. Trying to predict what they're going to do. I feel like that's going to be very helpful for Auburn. Just to have such a variety of things. They can go under center. They can line up in eye tight. They can go in shotgun. I mean, they've got so much stuff now. They can throw to the tight end. We haven't even mentioned that, like, a lot and do it successfully. Not just a little dinky route. Like, no, we're getting like 7 to 15 yards a catch, from a guy. When it's passed to a wide to a tight end. So we've got some good stuff that I feel like you can definitely build on this. And really, I mean, we kind of knew the first two games for Auburn were going to have to be kind of these, okay, we're more than likely going to win these games. Let's see what we have and build, especially on offense, a lot of confidence, because you need the confidence going to Penn State in your third game. And then going to LSU in Baton Rouge. And so you're thinking, all right, this is a good building block for what this offense can be very quickly. So I'm very excited about offensively what we're doing, but then even defensively, I feel like we were flying around so quickly that, I mean, I think Akron had like negative yardage and rushing. Like, that's hard to do. That is really hard to do in any game. So really the only way Akron was able to move the ball was throwing some passes, and even then it was not until later in the game when that actually happened. So I mean, I felt like this was such a good game to start out with. I mean, exceeded my expectations as well. Bo Nix, let's just kind of talk about him, because I mean, he was announced as a starter, but we knew TJ Finley just from, you know, practice talk. You know, he was kind of competing against Bo Nix and maybe potentially by like in game 2, 3, 4, somewhere around there, like TJ Finley could come in and become the starter if Bo started to falter and have some issues. But I wanted to kind of discuss, like, now that we got to see Bo Nix, you know, he only missed 2 passes out of his 22. So he was 20 for 22, almost had 275 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, looked, you know, very confident and comfortable. throwing pretty much any and every pass. But I kind of want to discuss, like, what do you think about the QB race at this point? And where do you think it, you know, kind of ended even before this game?
Yeah, I mean, you and I talked about it off air before we came on, and I think I was wrong. I don't think it was near as close as I thought. I had gotten as low as 50-50 that Bo Nix does or doesn't start. And I really think after watching this, it was probably 80-20 most of the time. You know, and it's not really against TJ Finley. I just think the ceiling is so high for Bo. The only thing he needed to fix was the boring basic stuff. And from what we saw Saturday, he has mostly. And if he's fixed that stuff, then he's got the arm strength. He's got the mobility. And, you know, he really could be a threat, not just a game manager. He could really be a threat. You know, last year you and I kept saying, look, Bo, just manage the game and don't lose it. Mm. If he's figured out the no happy feet and he's figured out the check downs. I mean, like if you go back and watch, I went back and watched the clips. He was going through his reads. He had time. That helps a lot. But he was going through his reads, finding the open man. He wanted to go deep on a pass. It was not there. He didn't risk it. And we gave him an option. He dumps it out to Tank, and Tank gets like 15 yards.
Yeah.
Like that wasn't there last year.
Yeah.
And I don't know that Bo would have stayed in the pocket long enough to find it last year, even if it was. So I think it's Bo's job. Nothing against TJ. I think it's Bo's job. And I think that, you know, if he keeps progressing like this, you know, they said during the game, Bobo said you'll be able to tell, you know, by his feet, you know, where his mind is. And mm-hmm. to me, his feet were very calm. He was very calm. I'll end it with this. I do think some of his throws were not right on target. That scares me a little bit if you're playing like a Georgia. So they were in the vicinity. Receivers made some good catches, but they were good enough. And really, we just wanted to see Bo be confident and comfortable. And I think the accuracy will come now that he starts getting more confidence.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think the QB race was pretty close, but I mean, I was kind of backing closer to what you were thinking. I was thinking like 60% Bo, 40% TJ Finley gets, you know, a start in the first few games. But I think that's kind of changed. I mean, I think Bo, if he continues to improve like we've seen, I mean, this was by far the biggest improvement from anything we've seen from Bo. I mean, he's kind of just kind of first season. I remember like some little improvements, but never anything that was just like, wow, he has really stepped up and he knows what he's supposed to be doing. And in this game, I saw a lot of really great things, particularly with the long ball, because he had what, two or three that were long passes where I feel like last year's Bo Nix probably had happy feet and probably overthrew the guy. And this year he settled. He might have underthrown a couple of them, but it really didn't matter all that much because they were just that wide open. And you know what? If you're that wide open, I'd rather you underthrow it than overthrow it. At least give the guy a chance. So there's definitely things to improve on still, but Bo Nix has definitely taken a big step in the right direction. I also wanted to talk about running backs because we got to see four different running backs kind of as our main running backs. Tank Bigsby, obviously a stud, phenomenal guy that really, I mean, just shows you why he's our number one running back. And I mean, even that first touchdown, you could just kind of see like he was just so excited to score and to do it in front of a full student section. He was running right at the student section in the band. And like you could tell the excitement just having the fans. He didn't get to experience, you know, the full fan student section kind of thing last year. And you can tell that makes a difference. Just the emotions that run through players when they get to score and they're running into their fans that are just as excited as they are about scoring. That's a pretty cool thing. Any kind of thoughts that you had about the running backs? I mean, it could be about Tank or any of the other ones you got to see.
Tank was being Tank. He scared me there a little bit. I don't know the rule anymore. It never gets called, but he celebrated a little early.
Yeah.
Luckily it wasn't called. I know that used to be a rule now where they could they wipe it off the board and 15-yard penalty. So, but you're right. I think it was just him being, I think it was him being excited. You know, hey, I mean, this is, that's what I felt. I felt bad for the freshmen last year because none of them got to experience the reason they chose to go to a certain school. Mm-hmm. And so this year they're getting to feel that. Tank's awesome. Every time he touches it, I get scared because I feel like he is our team. But you know, he's awesome. I'll be honest with you. Showers was good. Showers had that catch out of the backfield, and that play right there, you know, last year we would do that was like our offense. Okay. Like swing a pass out or something. That was a surprise yesterday because we had been going more down the field, even mm-hmm. if it was just 6-yard curl routes and stuff like that. So this was a surprise, and look out, it worked because it wasn't what we did all the way down the field. So I like that, but I'll tell you, man, and I think you and I have talked about it from what we've heard at practice. Jarquez Hunter, that kid's the real deal. I mean, I can't explain what they do, but him and Tank both have this almost kind of like a dead leg juke. Like it's like one of their legs just kind of go. It's such a juke that you can't. I don't know. You can't defend that. And right. He doesn't have the body like Tank, but when he's out there running, I thought it was Tank because of the way he was juking. So I was very impressed with him. And I know he was probably going up against either a beat down first team or maybe some of their second team was in at that point, but it doesn't matter. He looked good.
I think even if he's, you know, played in the first half and played against, you know, fresher Akron players, I still think we'd get a very similar kind of feel for Jarquez. I mean, I got the same impression as you about Jarquez. He doesn't look, as far as, you know, physicality wise, as big as Tank Bigsby, but his running style is so similar to Tank. I mean, I'm going to go ahead and say it. I think he's Tank 2.0, and I don't know if he's going to be necessarily better, but I think he looks so similar that I can't unsee it. They're so similar. And I love that because I want to have some depth there. And coming into this season, I mean, we were honestly kind of scared. Because at one point, I think we only had like 2 or 3 running backs on scholarship. And now we've got 3 really solid with Tank, Shivers, and Jarquez Hunter that are going to be really good running backs for us and have really good depth, especially when we're going to have, after these first 4 games, we're going to have 8 conference games. That's going to be a beatdown on our running backs. And if we make it through there with all 3 of them being healthy the whole time, I'm going to be very thankful. But I don't expect it. And I feel like you got to have the depth there. And so I'm just happy to see that all 3 of them really did a good job. And I'll even give an honorable mention, Sean Jackson, number 44. I mean, he ran
a dude over.
Yeah.
He's a big boy.
He's a big guy and he hits hard. I mean, like I was not even expecting to see a guy like Sean Jackson in a game like this, but I mean, that's good to have an extra guy down there that, whew, that's fun. That is fun.
He was kind of, you remember Petway? He was kind of Petway size. I mean, Petway was a big boy. I'll be honest with you. By the end of the season, I think in the coach's minds, Hunter will probably be a true number 2. They won't ever mention that because they don't want to, you know, Shivers has put in his due time.
Yeah.
I think Shivers really might start being more of kind of like what we tried to do with Devin Barrett, just not as obvious. Mm-hmm. I think he might be more of a role in the passing game. You know, how we did with when we rolled him out and he scored off. I think he could be kind of an extra, almost a little bit of an extra shifty receiver there. And we could use help there. So,
right.
I think we'll probably see him more in the passing game. But all around running back, I think it'll be obviously Tank and probably Hunter by the end of the season will have moved into that number 2 spot.
Yeah, I think it'll be something similar to that because I think Shivers has his role and it's get an open field and run really fast. It's not pound the guy up the middle. And that doesn't need to be his role. And I like how they use Shivers kind of out, you know, get him out in the open space. I mean, that's when he literally almost killed another dude. So
that boy does not run away from contact. And I want to be clear. I'm not knocking Shivers at all. I love him. I think he's really good. I think his tool set, you're right, is like more, all right, if there's a gap, I got it.
Yeah.
And he looks for contact. I think Hunter and Tank have just a little more tools that they have with the way they can run, and very limited piece of video evidence here for Hunter, but I just from what I saw. So it's not really a knock on Shivers. I love the dude. And yeah, he did. He knocked, I mean, he knocked like three, he knocked his own guy into the end zone. I mean, he yeah, was like, he I don't know who's in front of me, but y'all are about to wind up in the end zone.
I love it. I love it.
Hey, Auburn fans, I want to take a quick timeout from this episode to bring your attention to something very special. Here at the E2C Network, we pride ourselves on bringing you the best content for Auburn fans out there. And best of all, it's free to you. But just because it's free doesn't mean there aren't costs, especially when you have a library of hundreds of podcasts, videos, blogs, and more. Many of you have reached out and asked how you can support this network in the past. Well, now I have your answer. It's called the E2C Network Booster Club over at patreon.com/E2C Network. There you'll find a membership monthly reward system where you can sign up for as little as $1 and get different perks at different tiers. Some of those perks include things such as apparel, eligibility to join us on future podcasts, recognition as an E2C Network booster, exclusive communications, and bonus content that is available nowhere else. If you love this network and want to help us keep producing podcasts like this one, please head on over to patreon.com/E2C Network to join the E2C Network Booster Club. You can also get there by going to our website, e2cnetwork.com/support. Whether you decide to join or not, we are still so appreciative that you would support us by just listening and being here, because each and every one of you is part of our E2C Network family. Well, that's it. Timeout's over. Let's get back into the episode.
Let's talk about some of our wide receivers, because, I mean, we had some a lot more, I feel like, impact from our wide receivers than I was expecting. I was expecting us to run the ball and run the ball a lot. But I think once Auburn figured out that they were able to effectively run the ball against Akron, they were thinking, this is a perfect time to start developing our wide receivers. And develop we did. I mean, after how much, think about this, how many times we heard wide receivers were inconsistent, dropping passes, not running the right routes, all of those things. And even seeing it from A-Day and the open practices we've seen, there's been a lot of wide receiver inconsistency. I didn't see that. And I was really excited to not see those things and see the connection between Bo and then all of the different wide receivers. I think by the end of it, we had 9 different wide receivers that touched the ball. That's crazy. That's awesome to hear. Like, that is a good thing to start building in your first couple games, is that connection. Because once that's there, you can start relying on some of these guys. You're going to start seeing some of these guys kind of rise to the top, be your go-to wide receiver, and be the good. I mean, I think about like Ryan Davis from a few years back. Like, he was a reliable guy. Like, you knew he was going to find a way to get to that first down line. And that's where I'm thinking some of these wide receivers, somebody's going to fit into that role. So what's your thoughts on wide receivers? I'm going to also kind of group in tight ends there. With how they did this game.
Yeah, I mean, you never know what's coach speech, although I get the impression Harsin doesn't really care. I think he's I don't know that he's going to tell you something just to make you feel better, if you know what I mean. What he says, he probably means. And he said from spring to fall, those guys made the biggest jump. And he's like, they came back almost like a totally different group, but we didn't know. And I think it was true. I think what you and I were hearing in the spring was true. Super inconsistent. Very frustrating for the coaches, and they came back in the fall and they're like a whole different group. And now we're seeing that. And I don't know what they did during that time, but spring and summer and fall, but I mean, Shedrick Jackson, I mean, when I saw he was no offense, if you're listening, when I saw he was our starting receiver, listen, I love Shedrick. I picked him to be the leading receiver last year on the opening podcast. And I had to eat those words all year long. I was scared when I saw he was a starting receiver. I love it now. Like, he literally knows he's going to find that crease. He knows where he needs to be. He's going to find it. He's going to sit down and give a good target for Bo. I don't think he's a game breaker, but he's going to be somebody keeping the chains moving. I thought overall the whole group did well. Kobe Hudson. I've heard some things about him. You know, mm-hmm. was he really going to be a starter? Was he slacking off in practice? I've even heard those things. Apparently not. He looked really good, made a good catch from Bo on that seam route for a touchdown. Shanker, love seeing him.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
I mean, all in all, the only thing that worries me, AJ, is I think we were all so pleasantly surprised that we don't need to overlook, though, we do have to have somebody that can break open a game.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, because you need that when you're playing your Georgias and Alabamas and LSUs,
oh, yeah.
to me, the one that probably looked the most able to do that is Robertson, in my opinion.
Okay.
Just from when the ball was in his hand, you could see a little bit of, okay, this guy could take one to the house. So that's the only thing we're probably missing. I think we had guys that ran good routes, called passes. We need somebody that can put fear into the defense, and that will develop probably. But from the group that played last night, it was Robertson, in my mind, that probably would do that the most.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that. And, I mean, he has the college experience, the Division I experience that I think may take him. I mean, it was one of those things. I knew he didn't make, starters, but I knew he was going to get into some of the rotations at wide receiver. And as soon as he got in there, I mean, he only ended up with, three catches this game. It's not, groundbreaking or anything. But there was an obvious, I know what I'm doing out here. And heck, I mean, he just showed up on campus like a month ago, if that. So it's like the dude's still learning the system and already starting to know where he's supposed to be, run the right route, connection with Bo Nix. That's a good start. I mean, for a guy who just transferred to Auburn.
Well, and to be, I know we need to move on, but to there wasn't even by, you bring him in. We know he was an All-American at Cal and not. I was not jaded. I was not jaded. I was not biased by that. I didn't know who Zero was, but I saw the ball in Zero's hand and I was like, he's pretty shifty. I mm-hmm. see some athleticism here. I see he doesn't look stiff. And yeah, he didn't blow the stats out, but just some things led me to believe this guy could be him. And then I realized, oh, that's the transfer. So it was later on that I realized that was the transfer. But yeah, that, all in all, they did good. Very pleased and, excited to see what they do next week.
Yeah, definitely. Last final thing about offensive line. I know it was the big harping point, still looking for to see what they did. I think they did about as good as they could possibly do. Yeah, it's still Akron, but they were not phased. Bo had the pockets that he needed. The running backs had the right holes to run through. I think they did pretty much exactly what you were hoping for and even more. Any other kind of thoughts on offensive line and how they did just real briefly?
I think they did more. I mean, taking the wrong block, any team, a high school team can get through to your quarterback if that's happening. And that had mm-hmm. been happening a lot. So they were, they didn't do that. They came together. They did really well. I was very pleasantly surprised by the way they did way better than I thought they would do.
Yeah, I think so as well. Let's shift over to defense and kind of talk about them. I'd already mentioned, I mean, they stopped Akron to negative rushing yards. I mean, -3 rushing yards in a game is very good. I know that, consider sacks and stuff in college, but still, like, that shows you how much penetration they were getting. And a lot of times it wasn't even anything crazy, like, sending 6 guys. It was the normal rushes a lot of times that were just getting pressure on the quarterback or even a simple run play. Auburn was able to stop the guys for tackle for losses. I mean, it was super impressive to see the front 7 just dominate a team. And I'm kind of taking this as a lot of the new, I think one of our big concerns, it's not really a big concern, but one of our concerns was defensive line. How are they going to kind of step up with not a lot of guys that had a lot of experience from previous seasons? So, I mean, yeah, man, to have 6 sacks and a bunch of tackle for losses this game, I think it kind of shows you that this defensive line and front 7 is ready to go and adjusting well to the Derek Mason defense. What's your kind of thoughts on this defense and how they performed in this first game against Akron?
I mean, I think our defensive line could be nasty. I did not expect that. And you heard things coming out of camp about, you know, TD and Derek Hall, I mean, Hall, and, you know, but you're like, all right, I've been hearing this for 4 years. So they looked really good. I mean, they were, you're right. We weren't having to send any exotic blitzes or anything. We were just getting home with our base package. It's Akron. I get it's Akron. Okay. But those are still college athletes. And I mean, it was play after play after play. If their quarterback wasn't mobile, it'd have been 10 sacks.
Oh yeah.
I mean, it was crazy. I was so fascinated with the D line. I didn't pay much attention. I saw Owen make a few plays in space. Zacoby was a tackling machine. Didn't really get to pay much attention to the secondary, but I mean, at the end of the day, you're right. I mean, if we would have kept the starters in, kept our focus, we wouldn't have given up a point. So, I mean, that's about all you can ask for.
Yeah. And I mean, the front seven kind of established the game pretty quickly. I mean, that's why Akron wasn't able to do much. And as soon as I think as soon as Akron put in their backup quarterback, that kind of provided that spark. But before that, I mean, Akron wasn't doing anything on offense, was struggling to get, you know, consistent drives, even to get into anything close to like a field goal. So Auburn's defense, hats off to them for this game. It kind of shows me, I mean, one of our other big concerns was pass rush. How are we able to rush the quarterback? And I saw a few guys step up, like Derek Hall, TD Moultrie, even JJ Pegues getting in there.
Our boy JJ Pegues, he calls that fumble. I thought it was the first down. Like, oh man, they fumbled and they recovered and they came back. It's like, no, it goes back to the spot. And he prevented a first down. So good for him.
Yeah. And a turnover essentially. So
yeah, I mean,
I love it. I mean, I knew he just his, you know, sheer amount of talent that dude has running through his veins. I had a feeling he was going to make some impact, but I mean, he's essentially that guy right behind Tony Fair, kind of up the middle of the defensive line.
Well, and that's got to make him feel good. Cause you know, he's got to be questioned. He's like, all right, you know, it's got to be in his mind. Was this the right decision? Was this the right decision to move to defense and to have an immediate impact like that? That's probably got to put his mind at rest and get him to feel good. Like, all right, I have an individual, like I can still be an individual and get recognized on the side. You know, he calls that. So.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's pretty cool to see because I mean, we all had, I mean, like as much as we loved him on offense, like it was one of those things that was kind of inevitable that it was going to happen where he was going to move over to the defensive side of the ball. Just his enormous size and talent level. Like he's got to be on the field at some point.
Yep.
I mean, the secondary, I think did pretty well. I mean, you already kind of hit on it a little bit. Yeah. They were able to pass a little bit on us, but at the same time, I don't think we were, like we were kind of giving them some shorter routes. I mean, we just didn't want any, you know, huge play. And ultimately I think the defense overall just did its job. It wasn't a shutout, but 10 points in more or less junk time at the end of the game. I'll take that. I'll take that anytime.
I'll take it. And I will say, you're talking about leadership. Smoke Monday gave everybody credit, but the secondary, he's like, front guys did their job. He's like, secondary, we got to, I mean, he did not give them credit, but he said, we got some things we got to get cleaned up. But so that was cool to see him like praising everybody but his unit, you know, and saying, hey, we need to get better.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a good place to start for our defense under a new system under Derek Mason. Let's finish up our, you know, kind of review with Akron versus Auburn with talking about special teams. So the first thing that I saw was a missed PAT. And you know what? That fired me up. I was like,
where did that come from?
Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Like, that is one of the things that kind of irks me if we miss a PAT. Like, those should be automatic at the college level, especially with a great kicker like Anders Carlson. And to miss it, oh, man. But I think he very quickly noted that, like, as soon as after he missed that, he was like, oh, dang it, I let my team down. And then he knocked down like a 30, maybe 40 yard field goal. And so he kind of made up for it, like put his confidence back up there where it should be. So I like to see that kind of bounce back from a guy that, you know, he should never miss a PAT ever. So that was good to see. For our punters, I was curious kind of coming into this game, who was going to be our punter? Was it going to be Aiden Marshall or Oscar Chapman? And both punts, we only had two, were done by Oscar Chapman. One was pretty good. It was like a 40 something yarder. And then the other one was not a great punt. So it was about 22 yards or something like that. So we got some consistency to work on for punting. And I'm sure that's going to be a key emphasis, especially when we start playing the big names where a punter needs to flip the field. It's got to happen. And we
I kind of like what we did in the first half, where we just didn't punt.
Yeah.
Like, can we do that? Like, if Oscar doesn't even take the field, no offense, Oscar, if he doesn't even take the field, I'm okay with that.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, if we can score on every play or every drive, whew, I mean, and not ever have to use a punter, I mean, I'll be a happy man.
Yeah. Like, that's a lot of, let's just do that.
That's the goal.
Problem solved, Carson. Carson, if you're listening, we just solved your problem.
Yeah, that's it. Figure it out. You and Bobo go figure it out. Okay. I did kind of like a couple of different things with punt returns and kickoff returns. So punt returns, we got to see Javarius Johnson and Demetrius Robertson. So Demetrius is that transfer from Georgia. Both of those guys got some, you know, a few options out there. I think Javarius Johnson, one of the times he was out there, it was an incredible punt, incredible. And it was way over his head. Javarius ended up tripping on his own feet. But I think Demetrius Robertson, he did have a good return. And I mean, it wouldn't shock me if Demetrius Robertson ends up being our punt returner. I mean, his one return was 19 yards. That's explosive. You like to see that. I mean, if you're getting 19 yards on a punt return, you're probably going to break one. And it's going to be awesome. You're going to get the fan base so pumped up when you can score on a punt return.
Yes, sir.
As far as kick returns go, we had Shivers and both Donovan Kaufman kind of back there for pretty much the whole game. And Kaufman ended up having three returns. He averaged about 20 yards per return. Not the best, but also not the worst. I mean, it seemed like he kind of knew what he was supposed to do, kind of followed his blockers. Both of the punt return and kickoff return, I feel like, are very fun and exciting positions to play. So I'm going to keep an eye on both of them throughout this season, see how those kind of develop. Jared, any other kind of final thoughts on this game and maybe something, you know, you learned from this?
No, I mean, not anything we haven't already hit on. I think, you know, I think that I was – I guess I'll word it like this. I thought our ceiling was to be a good team. And after this game, I think I saw enough to where we could be even better than good. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to be. It was Akron. Mm-hmm. But I think the door is there to where we've all said, if we could just get Bo to do this, this, and this. Well, guess what? Bo did this, this, and this. Mm-hmm. And if that continues, we've seen Bo do that occasionally before. Can he do it 2 weeks in a row? We'll find out next week. If that's the case, we could be really good. I'll say it. We could be really good.
Yeah. I mean, I think you and I kind of insulated us around like 7-5, maybe as high as 9-3 by the end of the season. And that's if, you know, Bo Nix is playing at the top of this game. So I think our defense kind of proved itself. And it's going to have to prove itself again and again against much better offenses. So if the defense can do what it's supposed to and Bo Nix continues to not get flustered, I feel like we have a little bit higher ceiling than what we had originally said. I don't think we're making a national championship run. Now, would that be fun? Heck yes. You know, I was in school when Gus Malzahn came for 2013 and, you know, going from a, you know, pretty much a nothing year of 2012 to national championship game, like it can happen. Don't get me wrong, but that's a long uphill road to climb, and a lot of things have to go your way to happen.
I know I said I'll end with this. If that is truly our offensive line and that is truly the new Bo Nix, I will be surprised if we don't win 9 games.
Wow. So your floor is now 9.
if that's the true, and it's a very small window. 9 and 10 would be the max. Like 9 would be the floor. 10 would be the max to me. I just don't see as I don't think we beat Alabama. I saw them; they're on a different level.
Mm-hmm.
And between the Georgias, LSUs, A&Ms, you're going to slip up somewhere. From what I saw, I watched most of Penn State. I watched most of LSU. I saw where A&M struggled a little bit initially. If that is truly who they are, and I don't know, that's a big if. If that's truly who they are, yeah, I think we win 9 ball games. I'd be surprised if we don't.
I mean, you got some good potential there. And I think that's something exciting for us. I mean, it's the newness of the new offense and seeing how that works. And it clicked game one, which you love to see. I feel like, I mean, we'll talk about it on our next podcast, but all of the different SEC games where some teams, they were struggling. They couldn't find their identity on offense. And that was not the case for Auburn. Auburn knew what it was coming to do, and it accomplished everything that it wanted to do on offense. So I think it does raise that floor a little bit for Auburn, which, you know, that's fun. I think that gives us more shots at games this season than I think a lot of fans did probably coming into the season. Before we get out of here, Jared, how can the people stay in touch with you?
You can find me on Facebook under my name, Jared Davis.
And you can find me on Twitter, @AJAYJAY_. It's always great to be an Auburn Tiger and War Eagle.
War Eagle.
Thank you for tuning in to today's episode on the E2C Network. On your way out, I want to remind you to stop by E2CNetwork.com. It's your one-stop shop for all our content across our podcast, YouTube channel, and much more. To stay up to date with us, make sure you're following social media accounts such as Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. While our content here may always be Auburn sports heavy, if it's orange and blue, it's what we do. War Eagle.